Good morning, good morning. It's wonderful to be here, and what a privilege and a great joy to be able to share His Word and to be able to preach with you guys this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Grant and Jermaine. It's a much appreciated leadership team. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to share His Word. These are great privileges and never taken for granted. And I think it's just... It's an amazing thing being able to share His Word. And I want you to know this, that I actually come with great joy as I get to share His Word. And I want it to be something of a Barnabas for you guys this morning. Something that was said of Barnabas. It was said that he was the great encourager. And it was also said that he looked for the evidence of God's grace. And that's my desire as I'm with you this morning, is to look for the evidence of God's grace and to be able to encourage you guys. If you've got your Bibles with you, won't you turn to Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to be reading from verse 28. And as you're turning there, I think it's beautiful just hearing the different testimonies just after the worship. And you know, the Bible says this, says that actually we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. Don't stop sharing testimonies. Bible also says, give yourself to the public reading of Scripture, as he's sharing from the book of Micah. So beautiful. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in our testimonies. Don't stop declaring the goodness of God and who He is. Such a wonderful encouragement seeing what you guys are doing as a church. And I'm reading from verse 28, and it says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. And I'm wanting to share this morning with you guys just about serving and about being hospitable. Something that I believe was very close to the heart of Jesus. And it's going to be both spiritual and practical. So I ask that you would open up your hearts. Why do we serve? We serve because we love. Our motivation to serve is love and love only. And sometimes these things are hard to explain, but I want you to, as I share this, actually the idea is more that you would actually catch the heart rather than me trying to teach. These things are caught rather than actually taught. And I think actually the beautiful thing is that actually how do we catch a heart is actually we see it through us getting involved by serving and by us being hospitable in action. And that's how it gets caught, as people see our example. And I think that's something of the heart of what the Bridge Church is. Something of a heart of hospitality, a heart of serving. And you and I get the opportunity to change the lives of those people that we get to serve. You get that? We get to change the lives of people that we get to serve. Think about the worship team that was just up here busy leading us. They got to serve us, but our lives are changed because they actually ushered in the presence of God. And you and I, as a church family, are trying to create a family, a place where others get to actually connect and get to be made to feel welcome. That's what we do. This is exactly what it is. How do we do that? By smiling, by greeting, sometimes being loud, but also reading the moment when it's appropriate, and actually having fun with one another that we're getting to serve together with. Enjoy it. To actually serve Jesus should be the greatest, greatest joy. It really should be. But I think sometimes when we look around us, it looks like some people have been sucking on lemons. And it's the strangest thing, because actually you and I are full of the joy of the Lord. We should be an incredible display to the world because of the life of Jesus that is inside of us. But I want to encourage you, be genuine, be yourself. Because actually some of you might be a little bit more quieter by nature. And that's fine, that's the way God's made you. But you have got an incredible ability to actually spot others who are maybe needing home or needing community. God's given you that special skill. And I want to tell you, use it. If those who are feeling uncomfortable in the body, look out for them. Actually bring them closer, because you've got an ability to have eyes to see. The word hospitality comes from the Greek meaning, and it says this, to love the stranger. That's why local church exists. Yes, it exists for its members, which is you and I. But it's one of the only organizations in the world that lives for the benefits of its non-members. The strangers. There are strangers that are looking for family, looking for a place to be loved. It speaks about actually when you love the stranger, going after the one, looking out for the one. And people are being added to us week in and week out. But let's look for them. Let's have eyes to see. Seeing the individual in the crowd, taking the heart of Jesus, went after and noticed the one, spotted the one. Another scripture I want to share with you is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. If you're taking notes, you can just write it down. You don't have to go there. I'll read it. And it says this: do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it. Another translation actually says this: always be ready with a meal or a bed. Isn't that beautiful? We don't know who we're entertaining. And I wonder if this could be said of the Bridge Church. I wonder if it could be said that you guys would be hospitality enthusiasts. Enthusiasts who love to serve. Enthusiasts who love to host the presence of Jesus. The Greek word entheos is made up of two words. When I'm talking about enthusiasts, it's made up of the word in and theos. And the word theos means God. So if you break that word down, what does it mean? God within. So if we're enthusiastic and we are enthusiasts, we have God within us. And that's evident to everyone else because God is within us. And Colossians 3 verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as done for the Lord, not for men. Serving and being hospitable, it's not just a job which needs to be done, which does need to be done, by the way. Otherwise, actually, church wouldn't even happen or up having people in our home or a meal. But actually, being hospitable is an expression of the goodness and the kindness of Jesus. That's really what it is. And it's a beautiful thing. If someone's got a gift to serve or to host, it's so obvious. It comes naturally. It looks easy. It's not an effort. It's just a gift. And you know that. You see someone who's got a gift, it just flows. It just flows beautifully. And every one of us has got different gifts. What is your gift? Take that gift. Use it. Do it well. Allow it to bring glory to Jesus. Allow it to bring glory to Jesus. I heard an amazing story as this man, Grant, is not well. He's under the weather. And yesterday morning, first thing in the morning, there's Pete pulls up at his house with antibiotics. Next thing he shoots out, he's back again a little hour later. And he has a nebulizer. That's amazing. He's got a gift to serve. He's got a gift to love others. I think that's amazing. And I mean, this is a friend of his, someone who's a pastor in this church. He's looking for a gap to serve. That's what it is. Just having eyes to see, notice, taking the gap to go the extra mile. And just some practical things. When we're serving, when we're loving others, take a genuine interest in others. Take a genuine interest. How do we take a genuine interest? Ask questions. Listen to their answers. I don't think it's a coincidence that when God made you and I, gave us two ears, one mouth. I think that says that I need to listen twice as much as I speak. I think that's what God's saying to us. And that's how you take a genuine interest in people. That's how you take a genuine interest. People can tell if you're not really interested, or if you're just pretending, or you're just on duty. But nothing should be a bother. We need to be willing to go the extra mile. If it's you actually, if someone's visiting for the first time, take a drink to them. Offer them a cup of coffee. I was offered by multiple people this morning. Can I get you a cappuccino? Can I get you a coffee? And it's beautiful. I'm preaching to you the very thing that you guys are doing. If you're too busy, ask someone else to jump in the gap. Greet people by name and remember their names. Lovely to see you again, Albert. Lovely to see you, Bruce. Lucky to have you with us, Charmaine. I think it's amazing. Remember details pertaining to them. I'll never forget the story of a friend of mine. He was traveling to the States about close to 20 years ago. And at the time, Starbucks was quite a big thing in the States. And he walked into the Starbucks in the middle of Los Angeles, California. And he got to the front of the counter and he said, please, can I have a white chocolate mocha? And the barista said, with absolute pleasure, what's your name? His name was Craig. He wrote down his name, Craig, on his cup. And off he went, picked up his white chocolate mocha and enjoyed it. Next morning, he was attending a conference. Just before he went to the conference, he went back to the same Starbucks. And I mean, lo and behold, the same barista that served him was there at the counter. As he walked up to the counter, he said to him, "Good morning, Craig. Can I offer you another white chocolate mocha?" Couldn't believe it. It changed his life. In the middle of California, middle of Los Angeles, a bustling city, he remembered his name and he remembered the drink that he ordered the day before, in between serving hundreds of people. I think about Zacchaeus. You know, Jesus was walking and he saw Zacchaeus in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." I wonder, why did Zacchaeus come down? Was it because he called him by name? Or was it because it was Jesus that was saying to him, "Zacchaeus, come down"? I think it was both. I think it was both, but it makes such a difference when you remember people's names and details that pertain to them. Whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability, with excellence in mind. Not perfection, but with excellence in mind, still being real, still being relatable. And I think showing hospitality to the church is an incredible way to actually help people who are looking for a church to make home. So let's help them as they look into the bridge. Say, "Hey man, this is a place that I would love to make home." As actually we love them through being hosts and people that are hospitable. As a church, I think one of the things that we have the privilege of being is being generous, being lavish. When we put meals together or we gather together. Because I think that provides something of the heart of Jesus. He was lavish. And I think about Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Luke chapter 9 verse 17. After he had fed the 5,000 people, he said that they picked up 12 basketfuls of food. Are we lavish enough that there's always enough left over? We don't run short. There's 12 basketfuls left over. Speak something about the lavishness, the overflowing of God. Something of a picture of who Jesus is never, never a shortage. I think about often where we gather before and after church, the coffee area. A coffee area is such an amazing place. It reminds me of what I think the coffee area is like the modern day well. And when I say the modern day well, you know, the well was a place where people would gather in the Gospels. You see, people would gather there to draw water. And it's a place where Jesus met the woman at the well. And he began to prophesy and began to speak into her life. And I think let's not underestimate what goes on in our modern day well, which is the coffee area. So we don't even have to be coffee drinkers, but we found there, but just the smell, the taste, the aroma. But very often, as people, so much gets done in our hearts before we even welcomed into church, before we've sung one song, before we've heard one word preached. But it's in that place where we gather, where conversations are happening. God's doing a work inside of our hearts. Don't underestimate what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of each of us. And I want to say this, that coffee area is less about the coffee. It's more just about a vehicle into people's lives, one cup at a time. It's a vehicle into people's lives. You're getting to know people, getting to know their story, taking a genuine interest in them. And that happens at church on Sundays. It happens in our homes when we have people for a meal. It happens with home group. Wherever it might be, we're showing people Jesus and the gospel. Recently, I mean, Albert said that I'm from 3CR, and recently we've had a couple of events there. We had a memorial, we had a feast, we had a dinner for a group of widows. And it's interesting, I was just listening a few weeks ago, people are still talking about some of those moments, and I wondered, why are they still talking about those? And I was left, and I came to this conclusion, the only reason why they're still talking about it is because those moments, those gatherings, left a residue of the gospel on those people's lives as we gathered together. Those moments depicted the heart of Jesus to those people that got to attend them. I want to encourage you and I, let's take ownership. Just like you would, this is your home. As you would have somebody in your home, you take ownership, you love them, you show them around. This is your home. Let's take ownership of what God is doing with us here in this beautiful church, the Bridge. Let's take ownership of it. This is our church. And it's something that when people walk through these doors, that you make them feel like they're at home like no other place. And as we take moments to serve and to love others, I also want to say this. I said right in the beginning, it's both practical and spiritual, but know this, that actually we are ministers. So we're not just taking one hat and then actually just stuck in this lane. We can be both. So in those moments of actually serving and loving others, there's a moment to step aside and to actually put your arm around someone. There's a moment to look someone in the eye and say, how are you doing today? There's a moment to actually pray for somebody. Someone's needing prayer. Take a moment. We ministers of the gospel. Christ is within us. And in those moments, we have the ability to impart Jesus into others and to hear them and to listen to them. Encourage them. Share something that's on your heart with them. And there's a reason why God gave us five senses, gave us smell, gave us what we can see, what we can hear, what we can taste, and what we can touch. Let's use them. Let's use the five senses. God created us with those five senses for His glory. Matthew chapter 5 verse 22 says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. We need eyes to see people around us. And we also need others to be able to see the light inside of you and I. Let's lead by example, serving young and old, important and unimportant, those that are strangers, those that are regulars, those that are visitors. Let's not be exclusive. Church is not a place to be cliquey. It's a place where we actually, everyone's welcome. We gather together. And you know what? Manners are an amazing thing. To say yes, to say please, to say thank you, it's important. Manners are important. Look people in the eye. Go up someone, you look them, you shake them in the hand, you look them in the eye. Confidently, not arrogantly, but confidently. Why? Because you and I are sons and daughters of the King. That's who we have inside of us. But manners are important. I think we live in a world now we kind of think, well, that's kind of like old. No, it's not. It really isn't. I think there's a reason when you read through the gospel, it says Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And there's a reason why it says one came back and thanked Jesus. Because I think Jesus is wanting to highlight that manners are important. Only one came back to say thank you. Look for opportunity to say please and thank you, because actually that's something which depicts the gospel and shows people who Jesus is. And when we, and whilst you're serving, look for opportunity to multitask. Keep looking, keep listening. Actually, sometimes our life is busy, but let's not get so caught up in this life that we end up having tunnel vision. I kind of think about the role of like a host in a restaurant. The role of a host in a restaurant is very different to a waiter. And that's what you and I are hosts. We are hosts of the Holy Spirit, hosts of the presence of God. We need to use initiative. We need to be front-footed. We need to look for opportunities, stay sharp, keep our finger on the pulse, engage in conversation, refill drinks, clear plates if we're having people, whatever it is. But look for opportunities to be able to encourage others to usher in the presence of God. We're trying to create moments for the gospel, but when we do, let's steward those moments well, because God will show up. I believe God is, He is so mindful of us gathering together when we get together for a meal and whatnot. There's multiple examples of having meals together. And in those moments, Jesus is there and His presence is there. If you can turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 10 verses 4 to 5. You guys with me?
Yes.
It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me. Just before the book of Chronicles, 1 Kings chapter 10, and I'm reading from verse 4 through to verse 5. But I want to say this, that actually, just before I read that, through our hosting and through us actually having time together with people in these moments, do you know that it's an opportunity for you and I to get the attention of unbelievers? That's what it is. An opportunity to catch the attention of unbelievers. It says this, reading from verse 4. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. Isn't that amazing? This Queen of Sheba had heard so much about Solomon. When she came, her only response was she was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed at the goodness of God. And I also want to say this, that as hosts, we get to create a great experience for people as people come together. But actually, especially as leaders, we need to arrive in a good headspace. Positive, full of the joy of the Lord, excited for the day ahead. Because actually, if we're in a mood, it's going to translate to others. You can't tell people we've got mumps and then actually they're going to catch measles. They'll catch what we've got. And it's the joy of the Lord that's inside of us. But actually, you and I, we atmosphere changes. So if we're full of joy and full of Jesus, that's what's going to be depicted and emitted to others. And so let's ensure that we leave a positive, joyful experience on the residue on others, rather than actually being in a mood. And Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this, because you're going to think, well, maybe it is. Whose role is that to actually put me into this good mood? Is it these leaders? Is it their role to put you into that? No, it's not. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' preaching, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship, and to prayer. This is a call to maturity, friends. They devoted themselves. That comes through you and me personally having a self-devotion before God and putting our time in the presence of God. And after spending time in the presence of God, we come out as different people because we've devoted ourselves to the apostles' preaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the gathering together. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. Self-devotion. And that strength comes from Jesus, from His Holy Spirit. Not looking for a thank you, not looking for a recognition from anyone, but just the voice of the Father. That'll be enough. I also just felt in my preparation, just to encourage you that actually, that God is going to do something so beautiful with you guys, the church, and is doing something around unity. I really believe this. It's a little bit off the topic, but I really felt to say just these two things, that actually where there's unity, there's strength, the Bridge Church. Where there's unity, there is great strength. And secondly, I want to say this. Bible says this, where there's unity there, God commands a blessing. I really want to encourage you. I believe there's such an opportunity for great unity in this church. And there you will sense the incredible blessing of a heavenly Father. Also, I'm reminded about Boaz in the book of Ruth. Boaz was something of a kinsman redeemer. You're something of a picture, of type of Christ. That's what Boaz was. And as you read through the book of Ruth, there's three things that have caught my attention about Boaz. He had three things. One, if you take your notes, you can just jot down Ruth chapter 2 verse 5. He had the eyes of the Redeemer. It says he took notice of Ruth. He had the eyes of the Redeemer. He took notice. Secondly, in Ruth chapter 2 verse 8, it says he was kind to Ruth and Naomi. The words of the Redeemer, he spoke kindness, he spoke well over them. And then finally, in Ruth chapter 4 verse 2, he was generous. He had the wallet of the Redeemer. He had the wallet of the Redeemer. So you and I, we are types of Christ. We have the ability to redeem others around us. Have the eyes of the Redeemer, have the words of the Redeemer, have the wallet of the Redeemer. I'm going to close with this. I'm in the last scripture I'd like to read is from John chapter 21. I'm reading from verse 8. I don't know if you know this, but when we serving people with a cup of coffee, or we're having them for a meal, or we're having a bride together. But in those moments, you and I have the incredible ability to reconcile and redeem people just like Jesus did. We've got that incredible ability through moments of actually gathering together and having a meal and being able to be hospitable and serve together. Just to give you some context, I'm reading from verse 8. But to give you some context, so this is what's happened. Jesus has died. And the disciples are greatly discouraged. They've decided, like you and I often do, to go and make their own plan. When you're discouraged, that's what we do. We just want to say, no, we're going to make a plan. And we don't decide to go and get before Jesus. We just make a plan. So how did they make a plan? They decided to go back to their old jobs. What was their old jobs? They were fishermen. That's the context. And that's what they say to each other. I'm going out to fish. I'm going out to fish. And they've caught nothing all night. All night, they've caught nothing. And I'll pick up from verse 8. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish that were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And this is just after Jesus has told them, cast your net on the other side. When they landed, they saw a fire burning. They saw a fire burning coals there. And we thought the bright flames came from Pretoria. And there was fish on it and there was some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 altogether. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast with me. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. What a beautiful moment. Jesus takes that moment as these guys, like you and I, so often take our ideas and take the law into our own hands. And in that moment, he just reconciles him. He redeems him. And I want to encourage us as people that are followers of Jesus and those of us that are actually having the privilege of being able to serve others through catering and things that they're doing, stepping out and actually being able to be the eyes and the hands and the feet of Jesus, that you have the ability to reconcile and redeem people's lives like never before, just like Jesus did to his disciples in that moment. Can you imagine? They hit the shore. He's made a fire. Prepared it for them, ready and waiting. And their lives are reconciled and redeemed. And look what they do as they continue to follow Jesus and change a world. Let's go and love people well through the ability of serving and hosting others and being hospitable. We usher in the presence of God. Amen.